is exciting to be a part of the program today and just to have a part in y'all's big day. And boy, it sure was an honor to get to be here. I've been telling everybody I'm going to Terry Angel's church there, Faith Baptist Church, you know. We're excited about what the Lord's been doing here and what a thrill it has been today and a busy day. And tired. If you're not tired and something's wrong, you ought to come down to the altar and get right for not helping out. Amen. But it's a good tired. Amen. Yeah. Now, I'd rather be tired for doing something right and good than be tired for misbehaving, staying up all night being stupid. Amen. That's for sure. And it's a dangerous thing, though, when you're tired, you got to be careful. You don't want to fall asleep in church. That's dangerous to do. We'll try to keep your attention and to keep you awake tonight, but don't fall asleep in church. That's dangerous. I'd remind you of a story whenever I thought about everybody being tired, and about the old fellow who was tired. He was tired all the time. The preacher put him to sleep about every service, and he was sleeping. And in the middle of the message, the preacher shouted out, calling for a decision. He said, "Those that want to go to hell, stand up." All that old boy heard was the word "stand up." He stood up and had a puzzled look on his face, looked around, said, "Well, preacher, I don't know what it is we're voting on, but looks like you and I are the only ones for it." Now, be careful about falling asleep in church. Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalms 100 tonight. And thank you for your kind, encouraging words. Thank you for your love gifts. Thank you for your hospitality, and thank you for your help in our Cowboy Carnival out there. We just started that this summer, and Lord just kind of gave me an idea, a vision to add that to our ministry with our Wild West VBSs that we run all summer and our youth camps. And we said, boy, let's use this as a tool to see people saved. And boy, it just went over so well, and God used it and just supplied it. I mean, within three weeks before Vacation Bible School starts up, the Lord gave me an idea to do it. And Loretta thought I was crazy and said, "You're nuts, you know, but, you know, that's normal." And so I said, "Well, if the Lord's in it, He'll supply. God will supply if the Lord's in it." Now, we had some money saved back. We're trying to acquire a house and a place to put some belongings and whatnot. And so we had some money saved back for a house down payment. And Loretta thought I was going to use the down payment for the house. And she thought that I was going to do that. I says, no. That's for the house. You get in trouble misappropriating funds. Amen. And so, especially when your wife wants a house, you know, you don't use it to buy guns and deer stands with. Amen. That won't work. And so I told her, says, "The Lord's in it, He'll provide." But within 3 weeks, boy, we had raised over $5,800 to get a part of that carnival you see out there. Many things were donated. Just unbelievable how God blessed. And this summer, my goodness, every place we went, we broke all the records for attendance and souls saved. And that was just so exciting. And so, you know, I just keep wanting to take things to the next level, you know, go better. And so we started two or three new games while we were here. And then, of course, the big obstacle course that you saw out there. I've been wanting one of those, but they don't give them away. And so I was trying to find one, and I found an unbelievable deal on a new one. And so I started calling churches that we were going to, saying, "Hey, I got an opportunity to get one of these. If you'd like to help us, man, you know, you could give us a love offering towards it. And we'll buy it, and then every time we come through, it's going to be free. It'll benefit your meeting. It's going to be a draw for some of the older kids, and on and on. If you'd like to help us, well, everybody helped us, and you all helped us. And, boy, we're so grateful and thankful for that. And I said, it's just going to be a part of the soul-winning tool, you know, and get kids to come and get saved just like happened today. And it was exciting. Of course, this was today with the both the carnivals there back-to-back. It was our biggest carnival that we've ever had, and we were thrilled to be able to be here for that occasion and to be able to put that old obstacle course there in service. And we'll be careful. We just said, hey, let's take it with us everywhere we go, and we'll use it for big days. And the Lord's allowed us to do that, and praise the Lord that we can, and we're so tickled about the folks that got saved. And so thank you for your help and all your work out there. You all did outstanding job. And every once in a while you go somewhere and everybody just leaves and me and the kids got to put everything up, you know, and that's a monumental task. And so thank you for helping us. We do appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God tonight. And I'm hungry, and it's 7:15, and the preacher said he's ordering some pizza at 7:30, so we're going to get going here, amen? All right, here we go. And for everybody, you know. Yes, indeed. All right. Psalms 100, Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Well, that's what we did. I don't know, some folks don't call it music, they call it noise, but we were joyful, we had a good time. Trying, that's for sure. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Notice it says, be thankful unto him. You know, that's just being full of thanks. If somebody's thankful, they are full of thanks. Amen? I hope that you're full of thanks. Some people are full of other things than thanks. But being full of thanks is a good thing to be full of. Amen? And I hope that you do, and I want to rejoice with you tonight in what the Lord did today and all the folks getting saved, and what a blessing. And boy, we do need to thank the Lord. Amen. You know, I like being around people that are thankful and they have that attitude of gratitude, and they're grateful and they're thankful and they'll express it. You don't have to wonder whether or not they appreciate you or they are grateful for something you've done. Amen. You ought to be thankful. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you'd bless in the message. Holy Spirit of God, as I give myself completely unto you, use us tonight. Bless tonight. Empower, and may decisions be made for you, and may you encourage and comfort the church. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. You all can be seated. The Bible says in Ephesians, it says in 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we're supposed to give thanks in all things. Amen? And it ought to be a way of life to be able to do that. And we ought to be encouraged. We ought to be the happiest people there are. It ought to be us. Amen? Our teenagers in the Christian school, they ought to be the happiest people. A born-again Christian that's going to a Bible-preaching church that stands on the book, the blood, and the blessed hope, hey, they ought to be the happiest folks. And the smilingest folks, and the most rejoicing folks. And whenever somebody sees you, they just start to say, what are you so happy about? They just start to say, man, I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. I'm saved, glory to God. Man, it's a good thing to be alive today. I'm glad that I'm a Christian. You know, that's the way that we ought to be. And so, I just learned a long time ago, hey, I'm going to enjoy life because you're not going to get out of it alive anyway. Just enjoy it. Have a good time. You just decide, I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to have a good time with or without you. So you might as well jump in and say, man, I'm going to have a good time. And I'm going to give thanks because my Bible tells me I'm supposed to give thanks. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. It says, for this is the will of God. You know, you want to know what God's will is? It's God's will for you to be thankful. Yeah, that's right. Even when you don't have anything to be thankful for, you can still be thankful. Do you know that? You can. You can be thankful even when bad things come your way. You can still be thankful. Do you know that? It's not easy. We don't always want to, but what we do is we let circumstances control our attitude and our thanksgiving. Now, it's one thing to give thanks for what you do have. It's another thing to give thanks for what you don't have. Some of you don't have a Hummer sitting in your driveway. And so you can be thankful that you don't have it. Because think of how expensive those payments would be every month. Amen? Yeah. Thank God. Thank God I don't have that gas guzzler in my driveway, okay? But there's things that you don't have, and I want to thank God for some things tonight that I don't have. Number one tonight, and I want to encourage you in the Lord and help you tonight to have that attitude of gratitude. Number one, I want to thank God that I don't have a mummy for a Savior. He's not dead.
He's alive and well. The Bible says in Luke 24, 5 and 6, why seek ye the living amongst the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Amen. I like what the old time preacher used to say. He put it like this. He said the devil was walking, pacing back and forth out in front of the tomb. And when Jesus was laying in there, and he hollered in the tomb, and he says, hey, oh, death, do you have him? And death says, I've got him. Nobody ever gets away from me. But corruption hadn't showed up yet. That was the first day. Second day, the devil's pacing back and forth. Man, they're about ready for a party. They knew if they can hold him down, if they can keep him dead, hey, they had won. And so the second day, the devil's pacing back and forth in front of the tomb. Hey, death, do you still have him? And death says, yes, I've got him. Nobody ever gets away from me. But corruption hadn't showed up yet. On that third day, he was pacing back and forth in front of that tomb. He says, hey, death, do you still have him? And he says, yeah, I still got him. Nobody ever gets away from me. But wait, about that time, that old heart started beating. About that time, old life started coming back into the body of our Lord and Savior. Amen. About that time, he started to move. And old death was getting a little bit concerned here. And he says, devil, I don't know what's going on. Nobody's ever got away from me. But hey, this guy's coming back to life. And devil says, hold on to him. Hold on to him. Don't let him go. And he says, I'm trying, but I can't. And up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose the victor of the dark domain. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. Hey, thank God I got a risen resurrected Savior. He's alive. I can get excited about that. Hey, thank God that my Savior's not a dead Islam or a dead Allah or a dead Buddha or dead in the grave. Thank God he's alive and well. I like that old song. It says it won't be old Buddha who's sitting on the throne. It won't be old Muhammad who calls us home. It won't be Hare Krishna who plays the trumpet tune, but I'm going to see my Savior and not the Reverend Moon. Amen. Thank God for that. He's not dead. He's alive. Hey, I can thank God I don't have a mummy for a Savior. I can also thank God that I don't have a myth for a Bible. Hey, Psalms 119 verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. 12:6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words. Amen. Hey, let me tell you, when you hold the Bible, you're holding the peace of eternity. Do you know that? Think about that. Man, my Bible still says in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Thank God I got an every word Bible. Yeah, thank God for that. Man, I praise the Lord for the Bible. I praise the Lord for the Word of God and its place. And boy, the Bible ought to be real and alive to you. Boy, the book that we call the Bible, it contains the mind of God. It contains the state of man and the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. Its decisions are immutable. You ought to read it to be wise. You ought to believe it to be safe. You ought to practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you. It contains food to support you. It contains comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map. It's the pilgrim's charter. Amen. It's the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword. It's a Christian's charter. Paradise is restored therein. Heaven is open. The gates of hell are disclosed. Christ is its grand subject. Our good is its design. The glory of God is its end. It ought to fill your memory, rule the heart, guide the feet. It's a mine of wealth and a paradise of glory, a river of pleasure. It's given to you in life. It'll be opened at the judgment. It'll be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibilities. Its rewards are the greatest of labors. It condemns all that trifle with its contents. It's the word of the living God, and it is indestructible. It is incorruptible. It is indispensable. It's infallible. It's inexhaustible. Why, its subject all the way through the scriptures are the message of salvation by grace. Are you saved through faith? Hey, I want to tell you tonight that God thought it. Christ wrought it. Amen. The Holy Spirit brought it. The devil fought it. But I got it. Amen. Hey, I can thank God I've got a Bible that's alive and it's not dead. Praise the Lord for that. I remember hearing a story told about the atheist. And little Sunday school girl flying on the plane. And she pulled out her Bible and was reading it. She wasn't ashamed. She's reading her Bible. And the atheist laughed and he says, you don't believe that book of fairy tales, do you? She looked. She says, yes, sir, I believe it. It's the Bible. It's God's Word. I believe it. He said, you got to be kidding. There's no way them stories could be true. Oh, yeah, it's true. It's the Bible. He said, okay, how about that Jonah and the whale deal? How do you think, you know, Jonah, 3 days in the belly of a great fish? No way that could ever happen. How do you think that he survived? She said, I don't know. But when I get to heaven, I'll ask him. He said, well, what if he ain't in heaven? Well, I guess you'll have to ask him then. Amen? Right? Guess you'll have to ask him. Hey, thank God. Thank God that little girl, she just believed the book. She believed the Bible. I thank God I don't have a mummy for a Savior. Thank God I don't have a myth for a Bible. Thank God I don't have a modernist for a preacher. Bible says in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, I charge thee, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke and exhort. Hey, that's what we need. I think that's what you got in your church here tonight. Hey, it's a preacher that's not a modernist. God deliver us from weak kneed, spineless jellyfish, people pleasing, soft, soaping, sissified liberals. They look like mama floats into the pulpit. But want to be called Papa. Deliver me from that. Hey, they'll bend and bow for anything and stand for nothing. They're modernists. They're liberals. They want to please the people. Bible says in 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 and 4. My paraphrase of this is they will heap up to themselves, Aunt Jemima, smoothing syrup preachers. Who will be smooth? They'll rub them on their heads, pat them on their backs, tickle their chins, and give them little essays. Most people, they want their pastors say touching, tender, nice things about everybody. Wonderful day. Everybody is good. And, tell little Johnny that I'll see you in heaven someday. And they don't want a preacher to pull the shingles off. They don't want a preacher that's going to, make their sin to appear as exceeding sinful. They don't want somebody to hold them before the judgment of God and say, thus saith the Lord. The Bible says, I've hewed them by the prophets. I've lacerated them with my preachers. A preacher ought to be a cross between a billy goat and a donkey. Amen? Button on one end and kicking on the other. Amen? Yeah. Hey, man, that's what we need. We need some preachers. Thank God. I thank God that my preacher, Brother Scott, boy, he just picked right up where Pastor Howes left off. Huh? Thank God for that. He's just an old-fashioned, barn-burning, window-rattling, head-busting, high-peeling preacher, and he's going to keep on telling it just like it is. Preach it like it is, preacher. That's what you ought to tell him all the time. You ought to encourage him. Preacher, preach it like it is. Boy, I need that. I need that whenever that you hit me right in the running lights. I need that, preacher, whenever that you just get pointed. I mean, just say it like it is. I need it. I can take it. Give it to me. That's the way it ought to be. Thank God you don't have a preacher like that. When's the last time that you shook his hand and said, preacher, thank you for standing for the truth. Thank you, preacher, for being faithful. Thank you, preacher, for just leading us on to be an example and somebody that we can follow. When was the last time you thanked your preacher for that? Oh, we ought to do it on a regular basis. Hey, I thank God I don't have a modernist for a preacher. Thank God I don't have a myth for a Bible, a mummy for a Savior. Hey, I want to tell you tonight, I thank God that I don't have a morgue for a church. Amen. Thank God I don't have the first church refrigerator with Mr. Freeze standing behind the pulpit. Pallbearers skate down the aisles while the morticians play the funeral music. As they pass the offering plate and everyone bids farewell to their dearly beloved. George Washington. Don't see too many Grants in there. George Washington. Yes. Oh, Lord, deliver me from that. Deliver me from deadheads, ding-dongs, and ding-backs, and dry, dusty churches. Dry as last year's wasp nest. Dry as cracker juice. I mean, nothing going on. They're dead. Lord, deliver me from that. Thank God you got a church that's alive, man. You're blowing up things, blowing up people. Yeah, man, I like that. Man, get excited about it. Man, this lady wrote to the evangelist who's come to church for the revival meeting. She said, everything's peaceful and quiet around here. In our community, we just really don't want you coming in and stirring things up. Yeah? It's peaceful and quiet in the graveyard, too. When things are dead, they just don't want to be stirred up. They don't want anybody to ruffle their feathers. They don't want anybody to rub the fur the wrong way. Man, just turn the cat around. Everything will be okay. See, that's what you need. And boy, we need some stirring in these mildewed, ossified, fossilized, corroded, cold storage, North Pole, Arctic region, embalming fluid, black hearse, tombstone churches. They got about as much inspiration as a morgue. Dead. I've been to them. Lord help. You just try to get some response out of them. And they just growl at you. And you can tell during the invitation, I tell you what, is a spiritual thermometer of a church. I can tell a lot about a church is by how much the altar's used. If two or three people come, that's an indicator. But boy, whenever you see, it just seems like about every service, almost everybody's using the altar. Wow, man, I tell you what, them folks must be really bad sinners, ain't they? No, it's a bunch of folks that have a tender heart. Now, I don't want to get hard and quench the Holy Spirit of God. I don't want to do that, and I hope you don't either. And I hope that you're sensitive to the Spirit of God, and you ought to thank God. Man, I thank God we got a church that's exciting. Thank God that there's some people that's not afraid to shout amen. Go to some churches, and man, if the lady's husband said amen, well, she just faint and fall out on the floor. Think you got religion or something. Think you got saved. Man, miracles are taking place. Well, it's about time to have a resurrection of the dead. Amen. Thank God I don't have a morgue for a church, a mummy for a savior. Thank God I don't have a myth for a Bible. I thank God tonight that I don't have a monkey for an ancestor. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. We sing a song with the kids. I'm no kin to the monkey. The monkey's no kin to me. I don't know much about your ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. Amen. Now, I can tell there's a couple of you, and old Brother Harold, you wonder about him. But anyway, if evolution was true, right there's no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Brother Harold was my friend. Hey, man, I thank God. Listen to this. Listen, it's the probability of life originating from accident is comparable to an unabridged dictionary resulting from an explosion in a print shop. That just is not going to happen. Okay? Figure that out. Ephesians 2:10 says, we're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Man, I can thank God tonight. I can thank God for some things that don't change. Amen? Bible says, boy, in everything give thanks. Thank the Lord. Rejoice evermore, the Bible says. I'm supposed to rejoice in things that last for eternity. So I can rejoice and I can say, boy, I thank God I don't have a myth for a Bible. I thank God I don't have a modernist for a preacher. I don't have a morgue for a church. I thank God that my ancestors weren't monkeys. Amen. I can thank God that I don't have a mistake for my salvation. D.L. Moody said, don't stumble at the doctrine of election or God's choosing. Preach the gospel to all. If you convert anyone who was not chosen, God will forgive you. Amen? Lord, I'm sorry. Some of these black kids weren't supposed to get saved today. But sorry, they're going to... No. He's not willing that any should perish. Red and yellow, black and white. Hey, I thank God it's not a mistake. It's not a work for, worry for, hope for salvation. Hey, it's not a think so, hope so, maybe so, but it's a no so salvation. I know that I'm going to heaven someday. God's in the cleansing business, not in the whitewashing business. Amen? Most everybody can put a new suit of clothes on a man, but only God can put a new man in a suit of clothes. Amen? God can do that. It was no mistake when I got saved. It was, well, let's say I was about 2 years old. My daddy ran a laying hen operation on one of the biggest chicken ranches you ever seen. I grew up on a chicken ranch. I was the best chicken roper, chicken rider. I tell you what, I could herd them chickens up. I was a cowboy on a chicken ranch. Can you believe that? But we just worked with what we had. And so my daddy, he gathered up all the eggs and Alame Holler. How'd you like to have that name? Alame. That's a country girl, wasn't it? She's a southern transplant. She come by to get some real chicken eggs. She got some chicken eggs there off of daddy at the hen house. And she started, our family wasn't going to church. Now, mom and dad was saved, but really wasn't grounded in the word of the Lord. Got saved in the mountains up in northwest Georgia. Never grounded, never grew. And, you know, about every sermon, the preacher preached salvation because that's about all he knew back in the sticks. Thank God you got a preacher where you learn something. Amen? Yeah, all the stuff you got going on, the classes, and think of the things he gives you. Well, she was telling my daddy about the church, inviting him to come. See, and that's what you ought to do everywhere you go. You're just talking about, boy, our church. Man, I tell you what, you come to our church, man, we got a friendly church. Man, the staff there, they're unbelievable. I tell you what, except for that one Caleb guy, he's not real good. Stay away from him, but other than that, you're going to be all right. And but you know, you ought to talk about your church in such a way. Say, man, I tell you what, you ought to talk about your church in such a way.
that it creates a desire in the hearts of others to want to come. And she was talking about her church and telling about the preacher and, man, what was going on. And Dad, he perked up about that. You know, everywhere you go, stores that you visit, the people that you brush, you ought just constantly be talking. Talking about the things of God. Talk about it. You just never know. You'd stir up their interest. Well, they would think, man, I wish I had a church. I wish I had a preacher like that. My goodness, I wish that we had a bunch of kids in our church like that. And you ought to talk about it that way. Well, she was talking about their church and invited Dad to come. Well, we didn't come, so you know what she did? She got the deacons together and she sicked them on us. Says, go see this family. And so Carl Baker and Glenn Starks, members of First Baptist Church, Dwight, Illinois, they was deacons. And I liked Carl, I liked Glenn Starks. We called him Pappy. And Pappy, he wore real fancy boots. And he put his pants down in his boots like that so he could show them off. He had boots that had fancy stitching on them. And I remember seeing them boots saying, I wish I had a pair of boots like that. Man, he had him a big old belt buckle. He'd always wear a bolo. He had a handlebar mustache. He'd twist that thing in church. He'd sit there. He'd be sitting there and he'd have his boots propped up. And he'd be listening to the preacher rolling that mustache. Kind of like right here, this guy in the second row. And he had a pretty good size. He was a short fella, not real tall, and he had a pretty good size midsection. Kind of like our, but no. That was one thing he had that I didn't want, amen. And he had his boots on, big old belt, and I remember him showed up at our house. And Glenn Starks, or Carl Baker. Carl Baker was a tall, you know Carl Baker. Yeah, tall. He was, back then he was skinny. Tall, skinny fella. Had a flat top, had a little bitty mustache. Had that thing trimmed out just perfect. Boy, he looked like Don Juan, you know. And he come up the door. He's big, tall, and skinny. Here's short Pappy with his big old belly and his cowboy boots. I think it was Laurel and Hardy or something. And they come up, and they knocked on the door. Out there in that chicken farm. Now, listen, we didn't get visitors very often. And when we did, you knew it was for a reason on purpose because there's an odor that goes along with them chickens. And most folks didn't want to roll their windows down, you know, before they get there. Well, there's a knock on the door. Daddy was sitting in the front living room chair. Knock on the front door. Well, Daddy, everybody came to the back door. So when he heard the knock, he just went to the back door. He looked. Nobody's there. Maybe he's hearing things. He come back in, sat down in his easy sitting chair. So Glenn Starks, Carl Baker, said, well, let's go to the back door. See, the front door was painted shut. Nobody came to the front door. I mean, there was like a little porch there, but there wasn't even a sidewalk or nothing. And so they said, well, let's go to the back. So they went to the back, knocked on the back door. Daddy said, now somebody's at the door. He said, maybe they're at the front door. So he went to the front door, looked out the front door. Ain't nobody there. He said, my goodness, what's going on? He sat back down again. Now, Glenn Starks and Carl Baker, now they weren't like some soul winners are. You go uptown. Nobody saw him. Okay, let's go next door. That's what some people do. No, but they was determined. They said, we know he's in there. Alame Holler told us he's a southern country gentleman, and he was friendly and talked to anybody, and we know he's there. We saw him because he could see, you know, through the shades, and he could see movement. He heard noise. He knew somebody's there. And so, you know, they just broke the door down. Man, they just beat on the door. Stay back there. Finally, Daddy got up and says, somebody is at the door. What's going on? He got up, went to the back door, opened it up, and there was Pappy. Handlebar mustache, an old, tall, skinny Carl Baker. And they went in, and the rest is history. Them fellas invited my family to come and won my daddy over. And my mama was a pianist, and she loved playing the hymns. And it wasn't very long. She ended up being the piano player and was there every service, got involved. And that's what you need to do. You need to get involved, find something to do. I guarantee you, with all the ministries and things going on around here, you got things that you could do. There's jobs that, you know, that to be done. I don't know, preacher, you got too much help right now.
That's what I thought. Yeah, there's jobs and things you could do. And, boy, my family just jumped right in. And, boy, at the age of two, I started coming to church. Man, I got saved when I was 2 and a half. Plus, a little bit. No, I was 7. And, but I tell you what, I got saved and my family got in church. You know why? Because there were some soul winners from an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church that believed in knocking on doors and they were going after people. Amen? I like that. Operation Explosion. I like that. Operation Saturation. Man, we're going to go get them and bring them in. And that's what you do. It still works that way. Thank God you got a church that runs like that. Thank God I don't have a mistake for my salvation. And boy, every time I think of Glenn Starks and Carl Baker, I'm indebted to them. Thank God used them to reach my family. Every time I see, now Pappy, he's going home to be with the Lord in heaven. Probably still got that handlebar mustache still curling it. It's probably real big now. And old Carl Baker's still living. Every time I go back to First Baptist Church of the White and I see old Carl Baker, I go up and I hug him around the neck. That's the thank you, Carl. Man, you keep up. You keep up inviting folks to church because there's some more Kevin Walkers out there. You keep on. You be faithful. Boy, my family was reached because of you. Thank God for you, Carl Baker. Boy, I wonder, will there be somebody to be able to thank you? Thank you, you knocked on our door. Thank you, you ran that bus. Thank you, you helped reach me. My family got saved because you. And I thank God, last of all, tonight we'll be done. I thank God I don't have a misused life for His service. Amen. See, boy, that's happiness. Where happiness is, I thank God that I don't have a misused life in the service of God. Billy Sunday said, deathbed repentance is burning the candle of life in the service of the devil and blowing the smoke in the face of God. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to live my life for myself and then on the tail end give God a little bit of what's left over? No, I want to give God it all. Give everything. I thank God that I surrendered whenever that I was a teenager. Thank God that I surrendered to the call to preach. Thank God that I just totally gave over to God. Hey, that's the best place you can be. Quit holding out on God. Give Him your all. You know, there was hundreds of freshmen at Howes Anderson College back in 1981. But you know, Brother Don, there were just a handful of us that graduated. In comparison to those that started. Did you know that? And it shouldn't be that way, but it is. A lot of folks misuse their life in the service. I'll tell you what, I thank God that I don't have that. Thank God tonight I don't have a monkey for an ancestor. Thank God tonight I don't have a morgue for a church. Amen. Thank God I don't have a modernist for a preacher. Amen. Thank God I don't have a mummy for a savior. Amen. Thank God I don't have a mistake for my salvation. Amen. Thank God I don't have a misused life in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. When's the last time that you thanked Him? When's the last time you thanked Mom and Dad for taking you to church? When's the last time you said, Mom and Daddy, thank you for sacrificing and putting me in the Christian school? When's the last time that you said, Brother Dunn, thank you for your part in the ministry here? Huh? Brother Caleb, thank you for... Where's Caleb at? Is he out smoking or what? Where's he at? Oh, there you are. Brother Caleb, could you stand up? Could you? Brother Caleb, could you stand up? Okay. Stay standing. Brother Don, could you stand up? Who else works for you? No, I said work for you. Okay, Brother Jason. Go ahead, Brother Jason. Brother Jason. When's the last time? When's the last time you went up to him and said thank you? Thank you for investing our kids. Thank you. When's the last time you went up to their wives and thanked them? Huh? When's the last time that you thanked Brother Angel? Brother Angel, could you stand? When's the last time you went up to him and says, Preacher, your church has changed my life. Preacher, your faithfulness. When's the last time you just thanked him? Huh? Now, this is what I want to do. I'd like for you men on staff that are standing, I want you to bring your wife. And I want you to come down here and stand across the front. Would you do that real quick? Just grab your wife or whichever one you got with you tonight. Grab her. Bring her right down to the front. There you go. Come right on down to the front. Grab your wife. Bring her down front. Listen. All right. There you go. Grab. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Go ahead. Bring her right down here to the front. Now, when's the last time that you think? There you go. There you go. That's good. That's good. Okay. Now, you see these staff here, your preacher, you know, they give their life
They give their life for you. They sacrifice. When's the last time maybe you gave them a preacher's handshake and there's some money in it? When's the last time that you just said, boy, what a blessing you've been to me? When's the last time you thanked your Sunday school teacher? You know? When's the last time you said, Lord, thank you, you have been so good to me. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. God loves it. You know? I tell you what, I get a big kick, and I don't, you know, not a whole lot do it, but you get every once in a while you get a kid that comes up to you, and they come up out there at that carnival. I say, hey, they say, Ranger Walker, thank you. Thank you for this carnival. I had a great time. Well, you know what? That just, wow, that does a lot for me. You know, that encourages me. And so he says, boy, thank you for those tapes. And boy, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you. Boy, when somebody expresses gratitude, boy, that just helps keep me from not wanting to quit. Amen? Yeah, that's right. Now, this is what we're going to do in the invitation. Just a moment. We're going to stand. We're going to pray. After we pray, the musicians will play a little bit. And I want you to leave your seat. And you ought to come down and maybe shake their hands and say something to them. Say, boy, I thank you. Maybe something they've special they've done for you or an impact they've had on your family. And then you might want to come find a preacher and shake his hand. And I mean, you might want to find somebody, just thank him. And then you ought to find you a place down here and pray and say, Lord, I just thank you for this church. Thank you for being so good to me. We need to do that. It ought to be done on a regular basis. Amen. You take that word pray in the first letter, P, that stands for praise God. Thank him for what he's done. Second letter, R, stands for repent of sin, request forgiveness. Third letter, A, stands for ask. And the last letter stands for Y, to yield. I'm going to yield every day. Now, if you just did that, just a few moments every day, you'd be spending some time with the Lord. But the first thing in prayer, you study out prayers in the Bible. Almost every time they start out praising God. Amen? They do. And that's what we need to do. Amen. If you're here tonight not saved, get saved. You need to get baptized? Get baptized. You know? Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, bless now tonight as we have this invitation. Just take a few moments to express our gratitude and our love for you. Oh God, I pray that you'd help us to have a revival in the attitude of gratitude. And we'd be thankful to you for what you've done. We wouldn't be full of pride. And Lord, that we would be accused and guilty of giving praise and honor to whom deserves it. Help us now. Bless in the service tonight. And we'll thank you for what you've done. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, as the musicians begin to play a verse of song, you step out, leave your seat, come down, find yourself a place to pray. Maybe you might want to bring your family with you. You might want to come down and say something to one of these preachers. Or you might want to, find your Sunday school teacher and say, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for studying. Thank you for praying. Thank you for driving that bus. Man, because of you, my family was reached. And I tell you what, my family got saved. And we're in church because of that. Boy, I hope that you got somebody to thank. Will somebody be able to thank you? I hope they will. Boy, it's worth it. Amen. Maybe you might need to say, Mom and Dad, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sacrificing. Boy, you say, well, it's just not me. I just have a hard time. Well, there's some things we need to put on and some things we need to put off. And we ought to be putting on some thanksgiving. Putting on some gratefulness. Amen? That's what we need to do. Be grateful. Have that attitude of gratitude. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you for my food. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my house. I tell you, you know, you're out there at that carnival, and you give a kid a piece of candy, and they say, I don't like that kind. Give me a different piece. Now, what I want to do is take it from them and say, you don't get none at all. Because why? They're not grateful. But some little kid that's grateful says, thank you. You know, it makes you want to give them more. Well, here, we got extra candy. Let me just give you a few extra pieces. Why? Because that kid had the attitude of gratitude. They were grateful. They were thankful. I think the Lord works the same way. I think He does. Amen. Boy, you ought to It ought to be a regular thing that you maybe write a note to your preacher. Maybe you send them a thank you. Remember their birthdays and anniversaries. Shouldn't be no question in their mind whether if you appreciate them. Should be no question in the Lord's mind that you are grateful for the people that God's put in your life. How about that person that won you to Jesus? When's the last time that you thanked them? Those are good ones to be thankful for. That might, you being grateful to them just might spur them on to reach somebody else. Are your kids grateful? Are they thankful? Do they express it? They learn by example. If you've got some kids that are thankful and they're respectful, I guarantee you, you've got some parents that are putting it in them. And that's what we need. We need to have a whole lot of thankfulness as being, we're supposed to be full of thanks. A thankful person. A grateful person. Live in a day and age where everybody, they expect something, don't they? That welfare mentality. They just expect things. Boy, let's not live there. Let's not be that way. You know, when you're appreciated and you feel like, boy, people, they love me and they're grateful for what I do, it causes you to have deep roots. I've been to places, in fact, I've been to some churches recently where preachers, sister pastors are thinking about leaving. You know why? Because they don't feel loved. They don't feel appreciated. They just feel like these people don't care. That's a shame. Amen, that's a shame. Well, thank God that you got a preacher that's got some vision. Thank God you got a church. Boy, having 1,100 over 1,100. You know, there's not that many churches running over 1,000 that are standing for something. Now, there's all kind of them running over 1,000. They got rock bands up here, and they're an entertainment center. Not a whole lot. So, boy, let's say, well, thank God. Yeah. Well, God is good. All the time. Boy, let's be thankful. Let's be grateful. You might want to say a few words to them. You can go back to your seat. Those of you that are standing, you can sit down. Let you rest. And if you're standing waiting in line, if you want to sit on the floor, go ahead. There you go. I hadn't had anybody thank me for showing you my boots. You know, I've been need to be appreciated. Y'all all right over here? Doing okay? Good. Praise the Lord. Well, just a moment, we'll be done.